this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
That's right, to you high strangers around the globe. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Let's get started tonight with a pretty bizarre and disturbing story from Bolivia. That's right, down there in South America. An 18-year-old young man named Oscar Barbosa decided to commit suicide. So he got into his canoe and he paddled out onto Bolivia's Yata River to a place well known to inhabit large schools of piranha. And yes, that's right, my friends. It was suicide by piranha. The young man jumped into the middle of this school and was devoured by hundreds of those fish with razor-sharp teeth. In fact, the sheriff of the town said that after investigating this whole situation, that he believes the young man was also drunk at the time. Well, I guess you maybe have to be if you chose that as your particular way of leaving this world, but it is very effective. They say the 14-inch fish have such razor-sharp teeth that, well, they can strip a human of all its flesh in just minutes. And this time of year, that part of the river is swarming with red piranhas. It's very, very odd. They say usually humans are not attacked by piranhas, but if you decide to jump right in the middle of a school, well, they're more than happy to oblige. So I've never even thought about someone choosing to die that way. We have plenty of weird stuff going on. Some of it is very sad and disturbing. Some of it magical and uplifting. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and the Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. And my producer and engineer tonight, Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Warren.
Wow. You know, we've got a very special show tonight. You know why?
Why is that?
This is the last show that we are actually going to do before the year 2012, Forrest. Because it turns out our next two shows fall on holidays, really, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And most of our affiliates have chosen to do other things, like, you know, Christmas music, which is, that's probably a smart idea, because we are liable to ruin somebody's Christmas Eve on this show. So you never know what we're going to talk about. We've been scolded for talking about certain things the night before Easter, so... You see where I'm going with this. But this tonight, and I didn't even know this for sure until a few minutes ago. Now, some of our affiliates will be carrying best ofs. Some have chosen to do that. So it's going to vary on where you are and where you're listening. But this is going to be our last conversation in the year 2011. And when we come back, finally, at long last, it will be that fabled year 2012. Amazing. What is going to happen? And we're lucky that we are going to be here to broadcast for the year 2012 and help share this experience with so many people and guide them through this year that has been discussed for thousands of years by cultures around the world. And we not only were born at the precise time to be here for it, but to be in the prime of our lives, Forrest. When the mojo is radiating around us, we're young, strapping, dashingly handsome, rugged young men, and we have the ability to reach millions of people around the world. Am I getting too excited about this?
No, I don't think you're talking it up enough. I think young, handsome, dashing, that's just not enough to describe
us,
Mr. Warren.
Well, I am a bit on the modest side. I don't want to overdo
it.
I said the same thing on Coast to Coast AM last night. I think I've made my point. Oh, yeah, well, a few nights ago, whatever. I'm on Coast like every other night anymore. Here's what we're going to do tonight. In addition to all the wild news, this time of year is considered magical for many reasons. And one of them is that we talk, matter-of-factly, about elves. They help to build the toys at Santa's shop in the North Pole. People are dressed as elves at the mall. It's all fun and silly, and yet there are people who swear that elves are real, that they not only live in the North, but right here in our own country. And you know, when you start digging into it, it's amazing how seriously elves are taken. And so tonight, fitting for the season, we are going to dig into the mystery and reality of elves. And I tell you something else. Since this is our last show of 2011, and I wasn't sure it was going to be, I think tonight I'm also going to talk a little bit about the Krampus. Do you know what that is, Forrest?
No.
The Krampus. Yeah. The Krampus is an evil creature. You know, it's kind of like we think Santa Claus is a nice, friendly old guy who comes down your chimney and he leaves presents and milk and cookies.
Yeah.
But in some parts of the world, they don't have Santa. They have the Krampus! The Krampus! Especially in Germany. And the Krampus will beat the hell out of your children if they didn't behave well. He's a very bad, evil creature. It's a scary thing.
Well,
the Krampus.
It can't be all that bad if you... Never mind.
and so I think maybe we'll talk a little bit about the tradition of Santa Claus as well as the elves. We'll just knock it all out tonight. It'll just be an extravaganza. And to help us share this in-depth, insightful, and historic discussion as we wind down the year 2012 in this holiday season in a great mood, we have investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, do you know about the Krampus?
No, I don't.
The Krampus.
The Krampus.
I'll tell you about him. And actually, there is a tradition of Santa Claus having sort of bizarro, evil, dark companions in various parts of the world. So when you start looking at it, Santa Claus almost seems like the exception. He's the nice one. But when they say, he naughty or nice, I think what happens probably is Dad just gets real liquored up on Christmas Eve. Comes into the bedroom with a mask on, and then it becomes a dark 30 story. My goodness, where do we begin? Let's see. Well, we still have a few minutes here this first hour. You know, one of the things that we talk about with the onset of this incredible year 2012 is odd stuff happening to animals. You know, I don't know. We're going to try to do this later. We're in a weird situation tonight. We're recording in a different studio, and things are a little bit mixed up. But we're going to see if we can bring in somebody who's going to give us some insight on what's happening in nearby Henderson County. I know a person in Henderson County who has a dog. I think it's like an Australian Shepherd or something like that. Left their house one day for like an hour, came back, dog is gone. While they were gone, the county officials came there, shot the dog with a tranquilizer gun, hauled it off, left a note saying, "We think your dog looks a little bit too much like a wolf. So we decided to take it off, and we're probably going to kill it. And you owe us $500 for this." And, of course, they called the officials and said, "What do you mean our dog looks like a wolf? Are you going to do a DNA test?" "No, we just think it kind of looks like a wolf." Yeah. And so people are freaking out about this. We're going to see if we can get somebody on the air who can give us some more insight and some specific details on this. But I was thinking about that because there are weird animal stories in the news. And I went over some of this already, you know, on our last show. But, like, listen to this one you might have heard about from Cedar City, Utah. Authorities were shocked to go to a Walmart parking lot. This is just a few nights ago.
Wow. That's yeah. Terrible.
And you know what they found in this parking lot? 4,000 dead birds. Now imagine what that looks like. 4,000 dead birds. It looked like they had just crash landed into the parking lot. They say there were, it was a variety, at least 1,500 eared grabes, a duck-like aquatic bird, and some other, I don't know what. It's just a mix of various birds. They think that some of these birds were migrating to Mexico, and maybe they just mistook the Walmart parking lot for a large body of water. Now, birds aren't that stupid. I've heard about bird brains, but birds have been migrating for millions of years, I'm guessing. And I just don't see them mistaking a Walmart parking lot for a lake, but nobody can explain how this has happened. They said maybe it was some clouds and, you know, the lighting conditions. So I don't know, but it's got to be creepy when you see something like that, you know, just a mess. I guarantee you, like 200 years ago, if you walked up on 4,000 dead birds in one place, you would have just ran away screaming and told the villagers to, you know, close down, batten the hatches. An omen, a great omen has been visited upon us. And yet this sort of thing is happening more and more. In fact, when we tell you about that, keep in mind, when we come back from this break, I've got another story about something crazy falling from the sky, just hordes of it. It's starting to kick in, my friends, as we wind down 2011 and we merge into 2012. So much to talk about tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange, and we'll be back right after this. Don't touch that dial. that's what I hear, especially in these parts. Something about these little people, these little elven creatures, is just frightening. You know, it just, it makes grown men who are well-armed flee. I don't know what it is about them. Is it that we are faced with something so elemental, so fundamental, so ancient, so wise? You know, in fact, maybe little tiny humanoid creatures are more evolved than we are. Because look at the dinosaurs. They were huge. They died out because they couldn't keep up with the resources necessary to live. And maybe we are going to die out and the little short folks are going to take over. Maybe that's what the aliens really are, little elves. Because I'm sure if you saw an elf thousands of years ago, well, let me put it this way. If you saw an alien thousands of years ago, you might say, well, this is an elf. Why not? It's all a matter of terminology. And that's something, you know, that's interesting. What is the story behind these creatures that have worked their way into our popular lexicon, but we don't know that much about why they are there? Talking about the Christmas elves, you know, elves in general originate mainly from European folklore, and they were introduced into the Santa Claus tale during the early, sometime during the 19th century in the United States, in some cases where Santa Claus himself is an elf. An elf's main job is to make presents, and therefore Christmas elves became a part of the American Christmas tradition that was exported along with Santa Claus to other parts of the world. However, Christmas elves in American folklore originated in Northern Europe, where the settlers brought the Christmas traditions that developed into the American Christmas and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I'm looking through all this stuff about elves, and man, it just goes on and on. But it says in different countries, Santa's little helpers, they go by different names. And you know what they call them in the Netherlands forest?
What?
Black Peter. I had no idea. I don't know why they call it, if Rob from Holland was around, he'd probably say Zwarte Piet or something like that. Zwarte Piet. That he going. Black Peter. In Germany, they are Nachtruprecht or something like that.
Nachtruprecht.
Yeah. And in Luxembourg, in Luxembourg, they are known as hoe-seckers.
Hoe-seckers.
Hoe-seckers. Yeah. Not a hoe-sucker. A hoe-secker.
So Black Peter and hoe-seckers are the same thing.
Apparently, yes. Black Peters and hoe-seckers are the same type of little creature.
Really?
Yeah. Diminutive little things. In France, they call them Pierre Foutard.
Sounds French.
Yeah. I think my tongue just touched the microphone. Now I'm going to die. I have a disease now.
Yeah, put that little screen over the microphone. It might help there.
Actually, that's why I removed the screen, because that's got all the real nasty stuff on it. Yeah. That's just, we need to like take a sample off of that thing and put it in a petri dish and let it grow.
Ew. Make your own life form out of that one. From an earlier story.
Your own little man. Here's the thing. When it comes to elves and Santa and all this business, it's easy for some of us to say, this is imaginary. But those people who have had these encounters say, no, it's not at all imaginary. And I, as you probably recall, several years ago, got a little idea. I was talking with Mobius about the idea of the tulpa, or a thought form that if enough people visualize something and believe in something long enough that they can actually externalize it and it will become real. It's almost like that we take whatever this thing is that is called life that we possess in our bodies and minds, and if enough of us just project a little of that into the same spot over and over and over, we give life to something. we, you know, something is born from our imagination. Maybe that's what Bigfoot is. So the idea was, hey, if this is true, if there are tulpas, then, which is a Tibetan word, is it possible that so many people believe in Santa and share this collective view of what Santa is supposed to look like and behave like, that we have manifested Santa? And to test this, I sent out an e-newsletter to thousands of people. Now, granted, these are already people who are inclined somewhat toward weird stuff because they're on my e-newsletter list. And I said, guys, I'm asking you this in all seriousness. Have you ever seen Santa Claus? And not just like, yeah, I was a kid and, you know, and dad put on a hat and snuck in. No, do you believe you've seen Santa Claus, especially as an adult? And I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm doing some research here. And I thought maybe one person would give me a serious response. Instead, dozens and dozens of heartfelt replies came back from people saying, it feels so good to be able to talk about this and know that I'm being taken seriously. And these are people who told me, in many cases adults, yes, I have seen Santa, and this was not just a dude dressed up. This was a guy who had a sleigh and reindeer, and he flew off into the sky. I went outside, and I saw the footprints in the snow from the reindeer, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to tell, because how can you tell somebody that? I mean, just use your imagination. You see Santa Claus out there. Bells are jingling. Really? And bells are jingling. And you walk outside, and Santa Claus goes flying off. Do you want to finally come on the air and do you? Okay, there is a person in the studio. Now, do you want to make this claim? You really do. Okay, we have a person in the studio who has been in this studio for months and has never been on the air. Forrest, would you like to introduce this person? Because we just found out she has seen Santa Claus, is that right?
She claims to have heard Santa Claus's reindeer on the roof of her house.
Okay, well, introduce our guest, Forrest.
Well, we have my wonderful girlfriend, Kelly, who would like to speak to her experiences.
Sorry, ladies, he is taken. He does have a girlfriend named Kelly. Kelly, what happened to you?
I heard for years when I was younger, I would hear the reindeer on the roof of my house. And my mom would be like, if you don't get in bed, Santa won't come, because the reindeer are out there. And you could hear them, like, landing on the roof, walking on the roof. And I knew it was Santa Claus, so I've always believed in Santa Claus from that.
And you have no reason to believe that somebody was crawling up there and, like, scratching around to fool you?
No, not really, because my parents were.
Did you hear bells jingling?
What?
Did you hear bells jingling? Jingle bells.
I'm hearing a pair, so I didn't hear the bells, but okay. I would hear the reindeer.
So they must have been pretty pronounced then, a very distinct sound.
Yeah. I mean, it would sound like little hooves on the roof.
It was only
around Christmas, you know, Christmas Eve.
Yeah, so like, and then when this happened, did you stay up or did you run and go to bed quickly?
Oh, I couldn't go to sleep. I mean, I would lay there just, because I was, like, hoping I would get to see Santa come in my house, you know.
You know, that's kind of creepy, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Even as a kid, you're like, man, there's this dude in my living room right now?
It's messed up, especially because we didn't have a chimney. So I was like, thinking if he's getting in my house.
He had to squeeze in the pet door.
Possibly.
Well, that's why he's an elf. Maybe he is. Well, you know, I had an experience when I was a kid when I heard what I thought were bells on the roof one time. But, you know, you always question yourself. You're like, I was a kid. Somebody could be messing around with me. But it may very well be that there is a manifestation that becomes physical at a certain point. And it's the manifestation of Santa Claus. Oh, man, we may as well go ahead and wind this down. But when we come back, it's one thing. And now imagine, oh, you're excited because Santa's coming and he's bringing me gifts and he's going to have milk and cookies. But imagine if it's the Krampus and you're thinking, I might die tonight. My door is going to creak open. And something that looks like the devil, after he's been laying in the tanning bed way too long, is going to come into your bedroom. And, well, when we come back, I'll tell you more about what the compass does to you if you misbehave. You don't just get a lump of coal, that's for sure. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the program where the unusual becomes usual. And this is what we call kind of a holiday edition, Speaking of Strange style. Song, it reminds me of one of my favorite Christmas movies that is a bit on the unusual side, because you don't think of it as a Christmas movie. You know what it is, Forrest?
Die Hard.
Nope. Gremlins. They opened up Gremlins with this song.
Did they?
Yeah.
The only song I remember from Gremlins is Do You See What I See? when the record player starts playing in the bedroom, that's the only song I remember from Christmas.
Well, he gets the Mogwai as a Christmas gift. What is his name, Pete or something like that? And he gets the Mogwai, and then, you know, the whole movie, there are Christmas lights in the background, and it's a Christmas film. And I tell you what, later on in the show, we're going to play another song from a movie that I associate with Christmas, and we'll see if any of you can figure it out. I seriously doubt it. I will give you something free if you can figure this one out. I'm not talking to the listeners. I'm talking to those of you in the studio. The listeners will know. It's too easy. You know, when so many people listen to your show, it's just you're just giving something away for nothing, right? But as far as the I tell you what, we'll talk more about that later. But it is kind of weird. Sometimes there are movies that I associate with Christmas, but I'm not sure if they're Christmas movies. You know, it's like I'd have to go back and watch them again to see if the story actually takes place during Christmas time. Anyway, let's get back here to the compass. We'll just go ahead and knock this one out, and then we're going to get a little update. I wasn't sure earlier if this was going to work out, but we're going to get a little update on what's happening with the way that some of the animals are being treated in the area. Those wolf-like creatures in your backyard. So we've talked about Santa Claus, but let's get to the bottom of this compass thing. Apparently, here in our country, if a child misbehaves, the worst thing that happens is they don't get all the gifts they want. Or maybe they'll get a lump of coal. I don't know if that ever actually happens anymore. But we are kind of spoiled in this country. It's kind of like I heard some comedian talking the other day about how in this country, we're always griping about how poor we are and how rough we have it. And yet, in this country, we have a game called Survivor. And that's every day in some country. It's a game in this country. Survive. Can you survive? So anyway, in other countries, you have it a lot worse at Christmas time than just not getting a gift, because you might be visited by something called a compass. Now, it's easy for us as adults to laugh about this, but man, imagine if you're a child in a culture and they say, look, tonight, if you're lucky, jolly old Santa's going to come in here and leave you some presents. But if you're not lucky, guess what that noise is going to be that you hear rustling around in the living room? It's the compass. It's this demonic, devil-looking thing with horns, and he is going to creep into your bedroom, and he's going to stuff your little butt into a sack and drag you off to his lair and eat you for Christmas dinner. Because that's what happens in places like Alpine regions, a lot of those Germanic regions. It says here that, and I'm just going to read this verbatim, the Krampus is represented as a beast-like creature, generally demonic in appearance. And he's so prominent in some of those parts of Europe that it's kind of traditional for young men to dress up as the Krampus in Austria, southern Bavaria, South Tyrol, during the first week of December, and kind of roam the streets frightening kids like it's Halloween time with rusty chains and bells. And it says, oddly enough, in this article I'm reading, that in recent years, these Krampus-themed parties, or what they call Krampusloff processions, have become more and more popular in various places around the world, including Boone, North Carolina. Okay, now it specifies like Portland, Oregon, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Boone, North Carolina. So I have, what the hell? Why are people in Boone dressing up like the Krampus?
The upstate kids have nothing better to do, I guess.
Would you call that upstate?
App State.
Oh, the App State. Yeah, I guess that's right. Speaking of a little eggnog, a little extra nog being knocked back there. But there are all kinds of what they call like Santa companions that are scaring children, and it's just something interesting to read about and take into consideration and ask yourself, is this a tulpa as well or something different? You know what? We have, gosh, just a couple minutes here before our next break. Let me go ahead and bring in a man that you know very well if you've listened to this show for any period of time. Mr. Mobius, are you with us, sir?
I am here.
Okay, great. And when we come back, we're just going to have a few minutes left in this hour, but I want you to give us an update on what's happening there in Henderson County with people who have creatures that look so much like dogs, let me put it this way, look so much like wolves that they have fur and ears and two eyes and teeth and everything.
And that would match.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. Let's see here. We're going to talk about that, and also, I don't know if you realize this, I didn't until just earlier tonight. This is going to be our last recorded show of 2011. So hopefully you can hang on the rest of the program and participate a little bit. How does that sound?
Sounds like a ride I want to take.
Okay, yeah, because next time people hear us with fresh content, when it's not a best of, it will finally be that infamous year foretold and prophesied about for so many thousands of years. When we come back, I'll give you the update on what's happening with the animal situation. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. We call it Speaking of Strange, going out to all you high strangers around the globe. And we'll be back right after this.
Goody-two-shoes, Betty by Booze time again. Good night, honey. dreams, dear.
Final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news. That's right, things that are not for the kiddies or the easily offended. And right now, for this particular hour, I mentioned earlier in the program a story out of Henderson County that I heard about because I know some people who've been affected by it, and I thought, you know, is this really happening? I mean, is this as strange as it sounds to me? And Mobius, you have looked into this. What is going on right now in Henderson County, North Carolina?
Apparently, kind of under the radar, they have passed some laws banning certain breeds of dogs, dangerous animals. One of those animals being a wolf dog. And to make a long story short, a person contacted us and said that they left their home for a period of about 2 hours. And they came back home and immediately noticed their dog was not in the yard. So their first thought was somehow it had broken loose and left. They got to their front door, and there taped to the door was a notice that their dog was in violation of county ordinances, and it was a wolf, and it had been shot with a tranquilizer dart and taken away. And this kind of surprised the people because the dog is an Alaskan Malamute, not a wolf. But when they called, the people said it sure looks like a wolf to us, and that even mixed breed dogs that look like a wolf are now subject to confiscation. And this man was intelligent enough to say, wait a minute, this is a breed, it is not a wolf, and they said, well, does it have wolf markers in the background? He researched, and apparently a poodle is going to have potentially a wolf marker. All dogs kind of go back to common ancestors. And he said, how much wolf theoretically does any breed have? So they wanted him to do a $5,000 DNA test to prove his dog was not a wolf. And he said, okay, but it's your job to prove, if you're going to put my dog to death, that it is a wolf. So they didn't really like this and said it would bankrupt the county if everybody had this intention. And they said, just, normally, we put the dog down, you called really quick, you've disputed it. And they went on and argued, and at the end of it, they made an exception. Since, he knew some family member in another county who agreed to take the dog, they would just give the dog back and make all of this ugliness go away because he had raised such huge concerns that it would bankrupt the county. But now, if you have a Siberian Husky or an Alaskan Malamute or any dog that looks like a wolf, they can take it and put it down the same day before 5 o'clock before you know what happened. Welcome to the United States. We've gone nuts.
Wow, that is incredible, because right now, I typed in Alaskan Malamute. I'm looking at all these pictures. This looks exactly like some dog from Call of the Wild or Iron Will. Clearly not a wolf. I mean, this is the type of dog that would pull a dog sled. I mean, you look at that, Shelly. Does that look like a wolf to you?
Oh.
No, no. And so you're telling me your dog looks just like, or this dog you're talking about here, it just kind of looked like any regular Alaskan Malamute?
Well, you bring the point up. This has become a subject of contention. Rottweilers, wolves, pit bulls. There are a whole bunch of online resources that ask you to pick the pit bull or the wolf or the Malamute from a set of maybe 20 pictures. And it is impossible to visually distinguish a breed. Some dogs may look like a wolf, but they're not. And usually it takes 5 or 6 tries for people to actually find the legitimate, you know, breed that would be banned. All the other dogs are not. They've been tested in the pictures and have none of the bloodlines. So the idea you can visually determine a wolf is impossible. But the person involved in this did call a North Carolina wolf expert. She took one look at the dog and said if it was a wolf, she, of course, would take it. But she said, I can't take it because it's not a wolf. When she said that, her professional opinion immediately became void. These people, they were convinced it was a wolf. There was no negotiating with them, and they weren't backing down. Wow. So like you said, apparently to be a wolf, you need to bark, have a muzzle and 2 eyes, and that's good enough for them. You're a wolf.
Wow. See, I think this should be a national news story, and I hope it gets picked up and we're kind of breaking it here, because people are going to freak out when they hear that your dog can be picked up and killed that easily. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour when we dig into the crazy stuff happening in the world. And let me tell you, I've got a stack of it here tonight. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, coming at you all around the world from here, the land of the sky, Asheville, North Carolina. We'll be right back.